We are entering into Holy Week, the week leading up to Easter. We will be celebrating the greatest event in the history of humankind. Jesus is the King of Judah. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus possesses both the fierceness of a lion with his victory, with his kingship, with his power, and the gentleness of a lamb, with his kindness, his purity, his mercy. And sometimes we look at these two things about Jesus, and it seems like such a dichotomy. He's a lamb and he's a lion. But we take that into further consideration, and we mix that with experience, and it starts becoming real to us that he is both of those things. We mix that with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit and changed lives and the gentle love that is ours undeservedly because of his grace. And we start understanding that he is the Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah. According to a sermon by Augustine, the lion stands for Christ resurrected, and the lamb stands for Christ's sacrifice. He endured death as a lamb, he devoured it as a lion. That's what Augustine says. He endured death as a lamb, he devoured it as a lion. And we celebrate both of those things as we enter Holy Week. We celebrate it throughout the year, every day when we rejoice in our faith. But it's right now that we recognize the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that God came to earth as a little baby boy, that he put on skin. He was incarnate. That he grew up, that he became a carpenter, and then he entered into ministry. It says in the word that he had no place to lay his head. He was persecuted. He was misunderstood, and he knew the whole time that he would be betrayed and that his life would be given for his created, for his creation, for his loves, for his kids. We have come to recognize that Jesus Christ and his sacrifice is something we celebrate. But it doesn't stop there, does it? Because Easter is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's about the lion. It's about his power. It's about his victory. It's about devouring death to save us and give us eternal life. This is something to celebrate. And this is not a fear, as Mr. Beaver was talking about. When Susan says, is he safe? I might be afraid to be near a lion. It's about his power. It's about he being so powerful that in his presence we would not be able to even stand up. Yet, he breathes his breath into our lungs. I can't quite get it. The Lamb of God, this gentle, merciful, sacrificial, helpless human being. And this magnificent, powerful, victorious, life-giving God. The God-man. The divine meeting the humanity. And God gave Jesus, despite what humans had done to the world, didn't he? He gave it despite he gave Jesus despite the fact that people had turned their backs on him, despite the fact that they had misinterpreted every one of his intentions, despite the fact that we continue to destroy the very world he created, that we continue to tear each other down, he gave despite all of those things. And we have learned and we have embraced and we have experienced that we give because he gave. And we give despite uncomfortable changes. We give despite the fact that we serve this powerful God who answers prayer. And he even answers our dangerous prayers. I think that's why we are sitting here on Saturday night, because we purpose to pray the beginning of this year with a fervency that we had not done before as a group. One of our small groups has chosen to pray every day for our church. A couple of people have taken a day, and that's the day they're going to pray for our church. Well, God is dangerous because he answers our prayers. And we give despite uncomfortable changes, unexpected curveballs, ingratitude. Sometimes what we give isn't noticed. But worse than that, I think, is sometimes when we give, it's not even appreciated. It's not even wanted. But we continue to give because Jesus gave, despite the fact that at the time, it wasn't even wanted. And so through our devotion to prayer, and then our addition to fasting, the addition of another spiritual discipline, God has brought about changes. And those changes have a purpose. That purpose is to increase our hunger for God. Quite literally, we started fasting. And what happens when you fast? You get hungry. You physically want food. Yeah, that happens, right? And it takes a lot of discipline. So why is that important in the spiritual aspect of things? It's important because there's a hunger for God that we often don't recognize. It can be just a feeling of emptiness inside. It can just be a feeling of being down, emptiness, feeling alone in a crowd. And this hunger that we have, we don't always recognize as it needing to be filled by God. And so what we do a lot of times is just start eating spiritual junk food. And we just fill up on spiritual junk food, trying to satisfy that thing inside of us because we're hungry. And I know, like in the evenings at my house, I start getting, I'm not even hungry. I just start eating. I just go to the pantry and I just find stuff to eat. And we need to recognize that our physical hunger can also manifest itself in a spiritual way, that we become spiritually hungry for God. And so what are we filling up with? Oh man, this has suddenly turned into true confessions. I didn't know it was going to. I cannot tell you how many reruns of Law and Order I've been watching lately. Some of them are like from the year 2000, and what I really like is like the hairstyles and the clothes. But I am oftentimes sitting on my couch going, this is not an easy day. This is not an easy day. And all I have to do is push my button with the microphone on it on my remote and say YouTube and get all the praise music I want. And that fills me up. That fills me up. That brings me peace. That feeds me. But I often turn it to 7:05 because you'll find reruns of Law and Order. And it's that decision that we face. What are we going to feed ourselves? Because that is feeding our spirit. And guys, there's just a lot of murder going on in my family room. And it's not good. It's not healthy. It's not right. And I confess that to you today. I'm not perfect. I don't fill myself up on spiritual stuff all the time. And I know it's better for me. I know it's better. It's like going to the pantry and choosing cookies or realizing there's mini carrots in the fridge or chips. I would choose chips. Anyway, you know that about me. So chips or mini carrots, they both crunch. I mean, which one am I going to choose? I should choose the carrots, though. And I should choose YouTube and praise music over reruns of Law and Order. I mean, I'm not trying to guilt or shame anyone or even myself, but I'm just trying to give examples of how we feed ourselves. How do we feed ourselves spiritually? Are we feeding ourselves on the stuff that God gives us that's going to build us up? Or are we feeding ourselves on junk food, trying to do something inside to make us feel better? You know, God is allowing us to refocus our hunger for Him by adding spiritual disciplines. We started out with prayer, and then we added fasting, and now we've moved here and we've added communion. And all of those things, as we practice them more and more, actually increases our craving and our hunger for those things. Have you noticed that? If you start doing things over and over and over, you want to do it. Even exercise, even eating healthy. Those things, it's like, I want more of that. I want more of that. The twins, update on the twins, everyone, 8 months old now. What they're learning as they're trying to synchronize these babies sleeping is that more sleep begets more sleep. And it's the same principle with a spiritual need. More spiritual intake increases our desire for more spiritual intake. More of God increases our desire for more of God. We have a choice to make. We have a choice to make every day. And what's really cool is that because God is the Lamb of God, and or Jesus is the Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah, that we are recipients of His mercy and grace all the time. And so when we make the choices that aren't edifying to us, He can cleanse us. He can set us right again. He can give us what we need in order to get ourselves back on a balanced, healthy diet of what we should be hungering for. Spiritual awakening begins with a relentless pursuit of God. And a relentless pursuit of God will result in a deepening of relationship made only possible through Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there will be a deepening of that relationship when there is a spiritual awakening, and that spiritual awakening begins with relentless pursuit. New vision, new vision, new vision. I am calling this church to a relentless pursuit of God. We have been on this path and on this journey. And God has said, okay, you guys are letting me know that you're ready. I got some stuff for you. And then He says, you're going to move. And then He says, and there's no place for you Sunday morning, so we're doing Sunday night or Saturday night. And we are going to take like months to figure out when we're supposed to actually be here. But we're going to do it because God is saying, okay, you're ready for more. You're going to relentlessly pursue me. I'm going to bring you more. And it comes through practicing. It comes through practicing and filling the appetite that we have with that which is given to us by God and which is good. I was reading a blog written by a guy named David Butts. Go ahead and laugh. That's his last name. David Butts. He and his wife founded a ministry called Harvest Prayer Ministries. And in it was a quote that says, oh, it's going to be on the board, may hungering and thirsting for God drive us to a passionate, relentless pursuit of him. Yeah. May hungering and thirsting for God drive us to a passionate, relentless pursuit of him. So part of the key, I think, is to ask God when we're feeling that hunger emotionally and spiritually, what is this hunger about? Rather than just going to what we're used to feeding ourselves with. What is this hunger about? So when I'm sitting on the couch with my remote in hand, just feeling empty, feeling like today's a hard day, I mean, I know what my hunger is about. I'm grieving. But what is going to fill that? I get to make a choice. And if I choose to say YouTube into my remote and it says jump back in, I don't know if you guys have that or do that ever. It says jump back in, and I love that. Jump back in. Jump back into the deep water with God again. Jump right back in. And so that's what I need to do. I don't always do it. There's a fight inside of me. But I need to recognize, and I think that's what I need to do, is take a step back and be objective. What am I feeling? Why am I feeling it? What do I need to fill it with? And I don't always process that. It's oftentimes just, huh. And let me tell you, it's not only Channel 705. There's a Law and Order rerun on all the time. You never have to search far. 780 has them. I mean, it's on every channel practically. There's always a rerun. But rather than just going straight there, going, feel bad, hungry, this is what I'm going to do, taking a step back and asking myself questions is going to be really helpful. And I think that it'll be helpful for all of us in our pursuit of God to take a step back when we start feeling that hunger, start feeling that unsettled feeling, start maybe feeling the habits and the patterns that are just established in us that we're like, well, that's just how I am. That's just how I'm made. It's because my parents were rotten parents, or it's because, you know, I had this thing happen to my life and I can't change it. Well, that is true. You cannot change it, but God can. God can, and it is in the relentless pursuit of him that it will be changed. There's a lot of verses that talk about hungering after God. And on one of the tables in the back, there are a list of the verses that you can look up. There's a Bible, or take your own Bible, your electronic device. You can look them up, find favorite ones. You could do something creative if you want during our expressive response. In both Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4, Jesus teaches, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So I think we've established the fasting we've been doing has caused a hunger, both for food and for righteousness. In John 6, Jesus identifies himself as the bread of life. It's in this reference that we understand how fasting and the hunger that quite literally accompanies it transcends into a hunger not to satisfy a physical appetite, but one that intensifies a spiritual hunger. I just want to focus on two verses from this passage of Scripture. John 6:33 and John 6:35. Jesus says, for the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then verse 35 says, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Go ahead and leave those verses up for right now. This portion of scripture follows the event where Jesus fed the 5,000 with two fish and five loaves. 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So he had just done that. People had come looking for him. They had heard about his miracles. And then he performed this amazing miracle and fed all of them with food left over. It also follows the event where he walked on water. So after the feeding of everyone and the dispersing of the crowds, Jesus told his disciples to go ahead, cross the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum. And they got in the boat and they started rowing. And he stayed where he was for some silence and solitude with his father. And the wind gales picked up, which I guess is common in late in the day, the Sea of Galilee. And the boat got rocky and the disciples got scared. And Jesus came walking to them on water. And it was at that point, if you look in Matthew, it describes how Peter said, I want to walk on water too. And that happened. You won't find that account in John. But both of those things precede this God or Jesus showing himself and declaring himself to be the bread of life. So after the people, the next day, they went back to the same spot where Jesus fed them. So it's kind of like, you know, you have a place for your dog's food, and they come to that spot looking for it, right? And so the people came back to the same spot. They were ready. God, Jesus, do it again. That was so cool. And they couldn't find him. So then they're like, oh, they went over to Capernaum because we know that's where he's staying in Galilee. So they went across there and they actually found him. And they said to him, give us more, show us more miracles. And Jesus said to them, you are only here because I fed you. You are only here because I fed you. You want more of that? And they said, yes, we do. Because the Jews at that time believed that the Messiah would come, and when the Messiah came, manna would fall once again from heaven, and that it would be the second Exodus. So this whole feeding of the 5,000 with five loaves of bread and two fish was a foreshadowing of what the Jews expected. Manna is going to fall. And Jesus let them know when they said, Moses fed our people coming out of Egypt. And he said, oh, no, he did not feed them. God fed them. And then he declared in verse 33, for the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And the people, in verse 34, it says the people said, give us some then, we want some. And he then declares, I am. Look at those first two words, I am. Is that at all something you're familiar with? That's the name by which God identified himself to Moses. I am. Oh, Jesus is telling us right there that he has been sent by God. He is the Messiah. He is God's son. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Praise God. Spiritual awakening begins with a relentless pursuit of God, resulting in a deepening of relationship made only possible through Jesus Christ. Spiritual awakening, relentless pursuit of God, what God is calling every one of his creation to, but in particular this church, saying, come on, guys, you're going to be different. You're going to be different for a while because it's going to wake you up. It's going to wake you up. And it's going to allow you to pursue with more open hearts and openness. Because, man, when things change, we realize we don't have control like we thought we did. And this is for a season, and I'm hoping we stay here for more than just a season, but I think the change and the adaptation is for a season. And what I believe is that these things that we're bringing in, I think tradition is very important, and so I hope that they become embedded in our tradition. You know, everyone hungers, but some have no idea what they're hungering for. And that's why we possess a hope. That's why we possess a hope in Jesus Christ. Because people are hungry everywhere we go. And we have what it is that they need. Now, some of the time we're going to plant seeds, and other times we're going to water seeds, and there'll be times that we get to harvest the seeds. But I know that every person sitting here, myself included, had someone who came along and planted a seed and watered a seed and harvested a seed. And that is what we get to do by bringing hope to people's lives. The hunger that people are feeling, that we interact with on a daily basis. We have what they're hungry for. We get to share the hope with them. We get to share Jesus Christ with them through our love, through our actions, through our words, through our kindness, through our out and out declaring and sharing our stories of redemption, our testimonies. There's power. I've also made something else. I was busy making this week. And I made a mistake on this one. It's actually April 20th. I've gotten over it by now. So it did throw me off. Oh, I don't like to make mistakes. Anyway, it's another thing God's working on for me. There's some invitations that are on the facilitator's table and the coffee table. Just that you can take and give to people you work with, neighbors, friends. And it just tells that we're going to be celebrating Easter on Saturday. And that in itself should be a great conversation starter. But if that's not enough, on the back I put reasons to celebrate Easter on Saturday night. And some of them are a little bit, you know, tongue-in-cheek, but some are like, well, they're mostly like true. A very friendly community meets for church on Saturday nights at New Vision. Easter Day is sometimes hectic with lots of busyness and obligations. That's a little tongue-in-cheek. Church done differently is often what is needed to re-energize one's faith. Anyway, there's five reasons on the back. And so that could also be a conversation starter. So I just want to encourage you guys to take an invitation or two or three, and invite people to come next week because people are hungry. We are hungry. We are in pursuit, relentless pursuit of God because we want more of Him. But thank the Lord. Thank Him for being the Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah. We know exactly where to go when we're hungry. We know where to go. We go to the cross. And the Lamb is there with His gentleness and kindness and mercy. And the Lion is there with His power and His victory. And they both offer us grace. And we get to feed on that and feast on that whenever we want to. And not everyone is aware of that. Not everyone knows of the buffet that God has ready for them. The banquet that is ready for them. But we do. And so count yourself so blessed that you have been called to be one of the people who get to let everyone else know that their table is ready. They're hungry. They've put their name in at the restaurant, and they're like, when am I going to be called? I am not satisfied with anything I've tried. And we get to be the lucky ones that say, come with me. I know the exact table where you need to sit. I know the exact thing that you need that will take care of that hunger. Praise be to God that he partners with us and trusts us, entrusts us with these things. So our next steps today will be, I will fast this week in order to increase my hunger for God. I know that some of us are fasting already. We've been fasting throughout Lent. Some of you are fasting before we started this Lenten fast. Some of you are going to be asked to continue fasting after Easter. But for this period of time, until next Saturday, we have chosen to fast on Wednesdays, one meal. If you have done that, fantastic. One more week, or however long God tells you. If you haven't done that yet, that's okay. It's okay. Do it this week. Let everyone here, let's all do it this week. One meal on Wednesday. And what we're doing is not just being deprived and feeling hungry and thinking about the potato chips in the pantry. What we're doing is making room for God. So you take that time that you would normally be eating and you spend it with God in whatever way he directs you to, and fill that hunger that really is inside with his presence. And in addition to that, you can take the money that you're saving from not eating and give it to a worthy cause. The second thing is I will invite a friend to church for Easter Sunday. And you've been given Easter service. Gosh. Easter Saturday, Easter Eve. Anyway, I'm going to be here Saturday. I'm going to be here Friday, too. So that's different, too, isn't it? Back to back, back to back. Can we handle that much? Like worship? Being with God? Yeah, I think we can. If we're relentlessly pursuing him. So good Friday service and then Saturday. And then I will choose to embrace change as God has designed for my church and also for me. And I'm going to work on choosing that too. So fill in your next steps. They can be put on your connection card, which is also in your program. On the back side of that, your name can go on the front, and you can turn that in for some accountability. There's also a place for prayer requests and ways to get involved if you're interested in other ways to get involved. And there's also a spot for next steps on your sermon notes, and these are for you to take home for reminders. So let's close this time of worshiping through the word with prayer. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for your graciousness, your goodness. I thank you for being the sacrifice. As we look to Holy Week and recognize that the events that were foretold that led up to what's coming, we call Good Friday, you went there for us. You took every single thing in this broken world, and you willingly sacrificed yourself. You took our broken hearts. You took our broken lives. You took our broken world. And Lord, because of that sacrifice, we have been cleansed through the blood of the Lamb. And then, Lord God, we know that as the Lion of Judah, you overcame death. Not only overcame it, you devoured it. Wow, Lord. We are promised eternal life with you. And for that, we are humbled, blessed, and forever grateful. And so, Lord, I pray that as we go into this time of response, that you will speak to us, move through us, and that you will just join this community together as one body in unity, in purpose, and in pursuit of you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.